phone call. What's cracking, everybody, and welcome to episode 149 of the Good Cracking Podcast. I am one of your hosts tonight, Ernell Pearson, alongside our other host tonight, Devin Stanford. What's happening, baby? Wow.
Oh, what's up?
Oh, he was big frozen for a second. What's happening?
Yeah, I was big frozen. I was big frozen for a second. That's why I didn't even get the cue right. Anyways, I am also your host today, Devin Stanford, aka Brevin the Dude.
Hell yeah, he is. We're co-hosting. We're double hosting tonight, everybody. We're a fucking mess tonight. Okay, Pancho, don't look now, but the greatest show on Twitch is starting. Let's go, Pancho. We love you, dude. We love you so much. AOGK Daddy's hydrate hose. Yeah, we got the hydrate.
I hydrated.
Devin, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing all right. I got paid money today to stand around and tell people to dig places. It was nice.
You work for TSA today? Is that what I'm hearing?
Whatever you choose to believe or whatever story you conjure, you can go with that. I don't care.
I like that. You're just snapping on the gloves, huh? You know what I mean? Like a doctor, just like a good digging. Doctor.
Yeah, I'm digging.
Digging for those drugs, right?
Yeah, drugs. Those.
Why does Devin sound like the villain from Pocahontas? Their dig, dig song.
Oh, I don't even remember that. No. I don't even remember that.
Oh, no.
I don't even remember.
Speaking of not problematic, we also have the Crimson Chin himself. Garrick B. Eaton, what's happening, baby?
I should not have rushed like I dare myself. A little too fast.
Oh, you like lipping like the Penguin of the Batman, dude. It's great.
No. Like literally, like I came downstairs and my wife was walking to the fridge and I was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like hobbling, and she's like, "I can see that."
where's your cane? You need a cane, Garrick. I feel like you need to walk around with not two. You need two canes.
I'd hit somebody with it.
That's maybe you are problematic. That's assault, Garrick. That's assault with a weapon. You know what I mean? That's is it? Right? Yeah, that's a good point. That's a fair point. Garrick needs a shillelagh, not just a cane. He needs a full-on shillelagh.
Let me get my shillelagh.
I believe it, me shit turned purple. You can have a taste of me Lucky Charms.
I almost had water come out my nose.
That's Garrick right there. Let's see. We can always say you're the grandpa from Holes. That's just too damn bad.
I'm sick of this, Grandpa. That's just too damn bad.
Yeah, that's Garrick. That's Garrick. All right, dude. Devin, why didn't you get a cane?
Because it was my shoulder, so I had a sling.
Yeah, why?
Just use the other shoulder.
What is the cane doing then? Nothing.
What if you hurt your shoulder and you were like,
swag?
You're like, Doc, come closer. And he's like, yeah, well, what's wrong, sir? And you're like, I need a power chair. He's like, why? You hurt your shoulder. You're like, I can't walk, Doc. It hurts so bad. And you're like, ow. Like a fucking nerd, you know what I mean? Dude, okay, actually, speaking of which, right? So I had a moment driving home from work today, and I'm driving on Killingsworth, right, which is like the main street right next to my house, as one Devin the Stanford knows, and as one Garrick Bartholomew Eaton knows, right?
Same location, I know.
Yes, exactly. I see a man laying next to like a sidewalk, and two dudes are like hovering over this guy, and I was like, oh shit, that dude dead? Like he's dead, right? Like he must be dead, right?
Yeah, like
he is unlifed.
Like unlifed, right? He is flatlined, like zero hit points, okay? No Phoenix downs. And this dude is just lights out over here on the sidewalk. I was like, oh shit, that fucking sucks, right? And I'm like, is he okay? Well, he gets up he arises, right? And these two guys are like, have their hands on his back.
They try to help him up.
He's like on his belly. So he gets up on his knees. And as he like stands up, I see him turn around and his elbows are just scraped all the way down the arm and his knees are scraped all the way down the arm. And I notice his longboard.
Wait, his knees are scraped all the way down his arm?
Yeah, all the way down his arm. Yeah. And then I notice his longboard next to him. And I was like, oh, he's not dead. He just ate shit. Which is infinitely more funny, right? Infinitely more funny. Because it's not funny for someone to be dead, but it is funny for someone to eat some shit.
But you're just like, oh, he fell off his longboard. You're just like, fuck that guy. Now you can laugh.
Yeah. What a fucking nerd. You know what I mean? Fucking nerd here. Probably hit a rock. What a loser, right? Tell him, Devin.
Dude, you know that's what it was. Or like,
I literally ate shit on a skateboard like 2 months ago and had road rash all over my leg. What a
fucking nerd.
It's just like slightly askew in one spot, and that's all it takes, dude.
I've been longboarding a lot, too, this last month.
Goddamn, man. Goddamn. Well, we're not talking about dying today, because today we're talking the return of Night City, Assassin's Creed, movies we want to play, and much, much more, because this, Devin, is what?
The Good Kraken Podcast, your choice for all the nerdy video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you want to hear live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 12 p.m.
That's right, Devin. If you're riding this wave, you can head on over to our Discord channel where you can submit questions and topics to the show soon. Get exclusive post-show content and have early access before episodes go live on podcasts and video services across the digital sea.
Yarr.
What can they get, Devin?
But if you've emptied your pockets for the latest and greatest in entertainment, that is totally fine. You can come watch us record the show live right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow.
Hot damn. And what you can do on twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow, Devin, is if you have Amazon Prime, you also have Twitch Prime. And we would love for you to give that to us to help keep us pushing content out for all of you listening and or watching at home. You can also support us by going to our YouTube channel by clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken with an exclamation mark and leaving a review there. Garrick!
What's up?
We just slayed that intro, Devin. Give it to me, baby.
Yeah, I was going to be like, you guys were riding that.
God damn, baby. Let's go. That's what the fuck we do out here.
We got some captain's orders, all right?
We certainly fucking do, man. First off, we're going to be live reacting to the Ubisoft Forward this Saturday at the beginning of our podcast show. So we'll be trimming down the content a little bit for you baddies at home. You know what I'm saying? Looking like snacks out there. All you can fuck buffets, as one could say. And I'm paying $12 for it. Let's go. What's up? Nah. You know what I'm saying? You tripping, doggy dog. I'm out here. I'm here. Hometown buffet, okay. More like it's you buffet. You know what I'm saying?
It's okay. It's okay. Just oh, man. It's okay.
I just can't be Devin. I can't be stopped. I eat ass. Okay. So, anyways, we're gonna be live reacting to the Ubisoft Forward.
I'm
this.
Live tweeting that right now.
Garrick already wants to quit. He wants to give up. He's out.
I was literally just gonna say I don't want to be here.
We are going to be doing the live reaction to the Ubisoft Forward this Saturday. Join us. We're going to be coming in a little bit earlier, a couple minutes early, probably like 10 minutes beforehand. We're just kind of do some intros, get things ready to go. They'll be doing the Ubisoft Forward reaction, which will probably only take like 15 minutes is usually how long the Ubisoft Forwards are. They're not typically very long, but it's a big old Assassin's Creed 15th anniversary celebration, and we want to make sure we're a part of that with you guys. So please join us. That will be 11:50-ish o'clock this Saturday. Please come hang out for that. Devin, tell them our next captain's order, my friend.
Go follow us on TikTok. We're going to be doing live content there pretty soon. Follow us.
Goddamn.
We're going to have reels. We're going to go live. We're going to have lots of stupid things that aren't even on the show on there.
If you follow us. If you think me eating ass on Twitch is good, wait until it's on TikTok. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Give him a week, Garrick. Give him a week.
Chase was right. Chase was right. You're 1 week away from making me look like a saint.
Yeah, you know, that's okay. I'll take it. You know what I'm saying? Garrick, what Chase are we getting right. into next, my friend?
Sail sound.
Take your time. It's okay.
We are headed to our news segment, The Helm.
Squawk! Garrick, what is The Helm?
The Helm is our news segment where we do a little bit of researching around for you to find you the juiciest little tidbits over the last little week or so that you might have missed. And then we recap it here for you so you don't have to do all that Google searching.
Goddamn, ain't that the truth. Garrick, hit him with our first story, my friend.
Absolutely. Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty is the first expansion, and it won't be on last-gen consoles. This is coming from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Announced during its Night City Wire live stream, the expansion marks the first major addition of new content to Cyberpunk 2077 outside of its various patches that fix the game's following its disastrous launch on consoles. A short teaser trailer was also released, reiterating the 2023 release date that CD Projekt Red had previously announced and also sharing a handful of story details. Keanu Reeves will return as Johnny Silverhand in the expansion, and the trailer sees him warn V about an oath they just took, swearing allegiance to the new United States of America. We are having a lot of fun with the expansion, said game director Gabriel. There's a little smoochie on my screen.
I'm a Tangelo. Yeah, there you go.
It's a mouthful. It's a new style of plot and a cast of characters, and will expand on the districts in Night City where it primarily takes place. This wasn't the only Cyberpunk news to come out of CD Projekt Red's livestream. However, the developer has also announced more DLC for the game that will be released today, September 6th. This new content is tied into the Cyberpunk Edge Runners animes that will also be released on Netflix next week and features a handful of new cosmetics and even a new quest that takes place alongside the main Cyberpunk 2077 story. It also acts as patch 1.6, and just as the Phantom Liberty expansion is moving away from the previous PlayStation and Xbox One generation, this will also be the final major updates coming to those consoles. So, I saw this, right?
Yes.
And was like, I saw patch 1.6, and like I retweeted, and I was just like, you know what? I was like, maybe, like, I think I would like to come back and maybe give this game another go if it runs pretty well on the Series S. Because, like, I want the new-gen experience. And it's a pretty good-looking game, and I want it to be a good-looking game when I play it.
Yes.
And, like, an hour later, I'm, like, back on Twitter, and they're, like, they had posted a video of one of the big things of patch 1.6, which is the new performance mode on the Series S, which locks it at 60 FPS with a 1080p dynamic resolution. And I was just like, oh, huh, would you fucking look at that?
Yeah, me seeing this news, like, this week, I know I'm supposed to be playing Death Stranding, but I do still need to beat that game.
You sure do. And it's good. It's worth beating. You totally should do that.
Yeah, I think if I got a hold of it on my Series S, I would probably play. I loved The Witcher. Like, I love Witcher, and I love their franchise they have there. So, I mean, I want to really like this game. It's just my PC couldn't handle it the way it was supposed to be run, and I was not going to purchase it on PlayStation 4.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I definitely say give it a dig through on Xbox Series S when you get a chance. I think I still to this day vouch for this game a little bit. Like, the campaign's actually a lot of fun.
I think
it would be a good time. I mean, like, it's
time to pick it up.
Even with all the bugs and stuff, it was still a fun game. Like, I sort of took it as a Fallout experience of, like, yeah, this is going to be buggy as shit when you first start. Like, kind of just be prepared for that. It makes the experience a little bit more fun. The weapons are really cool. The gunplay is surprisingly decent. And there's some story beats in it that are actually super interesting. I think mm-hmm. this game deserves some accolades. I think they deserve to also be held accountable for the fuckery that was a boot upon the release of this fucking game, for sure.
Yeah.
But I do highly suggest this game to people, especially because of the price point. You can get this game 90% out of the year. Like, I've seen this game at its lowest $6. So, like, if you right. can catch it for a super cheap price, I'd say it's fucking worth it, honestly. I mean, you'll get easily 40 hours of gameplay out of this. Easily.
I'm surprised that it's not on Game Pass.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't seem like CD Projekt Red's...
Witcher 3 has been on there.
Has it? Was it on when it came off?
Yeah.
It took some time for that, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it was on there for like a whole year.
Yeah, but how long after its release did it take for it to get on there, though?
Well, I mean, probably a while, because, yeah, Witcher 3 came out like, 2015? Like a while ago.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, maybe he's not. He's coming out of it. It's like watching. Do you remember the hit?
I'm sorry, my internet just dipped.
Yeah, it did. It was like watching the hit Brendan Fraser movie Encino Man, where he like comes out of the ice. You're like watching him slowly like start to nudge a little bit. It was like that. It's kind of cool. You should do it again, though.
Yeah,
you should do it again.
Yeah, no, my
internet just break again.
I think it is right now. I don't know what's going on.
No, you're better now. You're looking great now.
Yeah.
Looking like a snack. You know what I'm saying? That all you can fuck buffet I was talking about earlier. That's you. That's you doing right now. My lovely, lovely co-host. Yeah. I'm going to be playing this this expansion for sure. I mean, it's available now.
God damn it.
It's available now. I don't know if I necessarily want to play it right now because I need to get.
I thought it was 2023.
Well, they dropped a new DLC today, but then this expansion with the
Edge Runner stuff.
Yes, exactly. I don't know if I want to play it now because I need to get a Plague Tale done before it drops out of Game Pass on the 15th. But yeah,
because you got like 8 days.
I gotta get that done. but do highly suggest playing this game. So Devin, definitely beat this when you get a chance, and then play the fuck out of this DLC. It'll be fun. It'll be fun for you, I promise.
Maybe we can just have a game club night. We can all just play our single player games tonight in Discord.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mr.
Second host of the Good Kraken podcast, Devin Sanford, go ahead and take our mm-hmm. second story, my friend.
All right. Dan Lin won't lead DC Comics film and TV unit. This is coming from Mike Fleming Jr. over at Deadline. This first hit on CNBC.com, which put a spin that Lin rejected the offer. Others in the studio sphere say differently. Bottom line, Lin is staying at his ride back company. Warner Brothers Discovery's film studio has been going through a lot of shaking up, most recently with the exit of Courtney Valenti. They will try to find a big name to turn DC into something more that it is something more akin to superhero rival Marvel. When Deadline first broke word that Lin was the choice the studio zeroed in on, he was once a tenured exec at the studio and oversaw its Lego film franchise. We said there would be a lot of hurdles to overcome. Lin's rideback has a deal at Universal, for instance. The Warner Brothers would have had to fold rideback within the studio or work something else out. That seems to be where the discussions hit rocks. Man, this guy's editing. I'm sorry.
Got us.
Yeah, they couldn't find a way to make this work. At the time Deadline revealed this courtship, studio sources maintained that no offer had been made. So DC remains under the thumb of Mike DeLuca, who probably would be the dream choice to run this business. If he and Pam Abdi weren't tasked with running the whole studio, where that leaves Walter Hamada also remains to be seen. DC has a lot of stuff to figure out, including whether the public at large believes or cares about the studio's spin on The Flash. That star Ezra Miller is getting quote-unquote help in turning this into a mental health issue. Given the long list of troubling spats Miller has gotten into, we'll have to see how this crisis PR maneuvering impacts the movie when it premieres next year. But let's not be surprised if Miller does one or two TV appearances or a lengthy, sympathetic profile as part of the Image Rehab campaign. Yeah. The studio is in a tough place. They've got a $200 million film that apparently is a winner, and a star at this moment could never be the center of a PR campaign. So what other choice was there but this? Stay tuned.
Hi. Hello, the public at large. We do not believe or care that this is a mental health. He's cracked for sure, but this is not a fixable problem. Like, right. You don't just suddenly stop choking out and slam dunking people in grocery stores, okay?
Yeah,
that's not like, oh, you don't just wake up and you're just like, I'm not gonna hurt people anymore. Like, it's a little bit more than that, you know.
Not the way that fucking works. You know what I'm saying? Because let's just be real here, okay? Will Smith slaps someone on TV and he gets completely shunned by Hollywood, but Ezra Miller literally throws chairs at elderly people in fucking Hawaii, and they're fine. They're fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All that's fine. I remember when somebody actually posed the question and the direct quote was, "All is fine in Flashland." Like, what are you guys doing? No, all is not fine. Like, you literally at the time of that tweet, you literally couldn't find the fucking star to your film. Like, come on, people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Warner Brothers has so much shit to fucking figure out. And I think who's leading the DC like film and TV unit right now is not fucking it. Least of their concerns.
I don't know if I agree with that. It's hard because, like, it's easy for us to say that because obviously the entire shop is fucked, right? Like, the entire brick and mortar store here that is the DCEU is just in shambles, okay? The candy's on the floor, the shelves are knocked over, the manager has a knife in his fucking thigh, you know what I mean? It's terrible. But nothing's ever gonna get fixed if the manager doesn't get the knife out of his thigh, you know what I mean? Or we get him to the hospital and put in the next bad boy, you know what I mean? And so it's like, They do need something. They need fucking anything at this point to save DC as far as the films are concerned.
I don't have the solution anymore. Like, I just, I'm all out of ideas.
Devin, let me ask you this. Number two host of the Good Kraken podcast tonight. Do you think Dan Lin backed out because DC's a fucking mess, or did he back out because there was something else going on?
Because DC's a fucking mess.
Yeah. Ouch.
Dude, nobody wants to sit in that fucking seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, because honestly, at this point, like, the person that sits in the seat, like, that ends up being, like, the lead, like, they're Kevin Feige, you know, air quotes, like, they're not even going to be the person, like, it's good, like, they're going to get everything back on track, and then they're going to sweep their asses out, and then they're going to put somebody else in, and that person's going to be, the real Kevin Feige, they need somebody that is literally can just be there long enough to fucking stop this ship from sinking. They need somebody with, a lot of structural stability and the ability to connect and network to build bridges with a set of writers, because it's not like their cinematography or their direction or their casting, their writing is so fucking inconsistent and incohesive and doesn't make sense across their multi fucking franchises they have going on. Literally nothing interconnects and none of it makes sense its own shit. And so they need a writing team. They need somebody with the capability and that, or at least somebody that knows enough people that know how to do this to be able to bring them on board. Who that is, I have no idea, but they need to fix their writing issue. They need to find somebody who can fix their writing issue.
Garrick, have you seen The Witch, the Lion, and the Wardrobe?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You got the lion behind you, by the way. I saw the tail. The tail is wiggling around. You know what I'm saying? Look at that cat. Yeah,
small.
Look at that cat. Just getting it. He's licking himself. Look at that. I wish I could do that. You know what I'm saying? I can't do that. I can't do all that. Anyways, dude, yeah.
She loves that couch, man. She's about it.
Josh and Shadow, we all need to be in a movie and a game, not gonna lie. Thank you, Josh, for the subscription. We appreciate you, dog. Ernell in The Lion, the Witch, and the Bussy. Okay.
Garrick needs a cat on stream. Channel just got better.
We Garrick does need a cat cam, honestly.
Dude, Indy would like, she's around. Did she like, she follows me everywhere. Like, my cat follows me everywhere. Like, it's a problem. Like, she's so close to me so frequently that, like, I almost kick and step on her a lot.
Devin, we're
because
not
talking. She's, like, always dark around her.
Devin, we're not talking about Amos right now, okay? We get only.
I'm not talking Amos, about him. I'm just petting
we
him.
We are not we denying get... that Amos is the cutest boy.
Exactly.
But, like, look at that cute little girl back there. She's
I didn't
fluffy.
Say anything. He's just here. He's just
Kitten.
Here.
Kittens are little death machines, and I feel like there's a special place in both heaven and
they're
hell.
Gods,
for
they're
them.
God's perfect killing machine trapped in a really useless sized body.
Yes, exactly.
And I love that.
But I do love me some daily dose of Amos, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you
absolutely.
What.
That is absolutely.
A good time. It's a good time seeing those, especially when I have Devin blocked on Instagram still, so I have to see them on Facebook. It's a good time. It's a good time. But it's also a good time is that this Saturday, we got some very fun stuff, including Ubisoft Forward will seemingly include Assassin's Creed Infinity news. This comes from Adele Anchors Range over at IGN. Ubisoft Forward will play host to an Assassin's Creed showcase that promises to, quote unquote, unveil the future of the franchise, possibly bringing more news on Assassin's Creed Infinity. Ubisoft Forward will deliver new reveals and updates on several of the publisher's upcoming games, as well as a special Assassin's Creed showcase offering a peek at what's next for the franchise. This part of the presentation will include more details on the recently confirmed Assassin's Creed Mirage and may possibly provide an update on Assassin's Creed Infinity. Jesus Christ, I said it like three times. Assassin's Creed Infinity was announced by Ubisoft in July as, quote, an important upcoming early in development project, end quote, between Ubisoft Quebec and Ubisoft Montreal, with the creative leads at each studio being Quebec's Jonathan Dumont from Assassin's Creed Syndicate and Odyssey, and Montreal's Clint Hawking from Far Cry 2, Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, and Watch Dogs Legion. In addition to the Assassin's Creed showcase, Ubisoft Forward will offer updates on the upcoming Mario and Rabbit Sparks of Hope and the long-awaited Skull and Bones.
Long-awaited.
A pre-show beginning 25 minutes before the main event also promises to bring news on, quote-unquote, the latest season's characters and content from Brawlhalla, For Honor, The Crew 2, Anno 1800, and more. The show will broadcast on Ubisoft's YouTube and Twitch channels, as well as its own website. Those watching on Twitch will be eligible to earn Twitch drop rewards throughout the stream. Viewers will be able to claim the Skull logo emblem in Skull and Bones, the explosive detail charm in Rainbow Six Siege, the RC22 original cosmetic in Roller Champions, and the Sphinx tattoo set in Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Boys, are you fucking stoked for a lot of Assassin's Creed that we're about to get this Saturday?
Yes.
No. Okay.
No? No. Oh, okay. Well, I am. Devin is. Why not you, Garrett?
Dude, I don't know. Like, I just feel like the franchise is just such a strange place that, like, I'm having a hard time being hyped. And, like, I was pretty excited. I was really excited for Origins, like loved Origins, beat Origins, was pretty stoked for Odyssey. Dude, Odyssey had two fucking like them. I wasn't going to waste that much time, like a fucking 110-hour story. Get the fuck out of my face. and then you do the same thing where like literally like Valhalla comes out and they're just like, yep, we have the map. But by the way, you just have to watch the game now. And like. The cutscene in Valhalla bugs the shit out of me. I've never, I'm all for interactive, like an interactive story video game. If I bought an interactive story video game, I don't want that out of Assassin's Creed. I want to be severing people's limbs and one hitting people when I stab them through the spine. Like, not stab and being like, why didn't you die? That was clearly a critical hit, and then you shrug it off, and I have to, like, fight a fort worth of fucking people because, like, the assassination didn't go through. Like, I can't, like, dude, that, like, the mechanics, like, the way that the franchise has gone irritates the shit out of me, bro. Like, there's some key things that just bug me, and I don't jive with it, and I go just, like, there's, if... That's why I'm not excited.
Hey, Garrick. Can you tell me how you really feel?
Hey, Garrick.
Dude, I deeply love Assassin's Creed. Deeply love Assassin's Creed. And that's why I'm so frustrated with the direction of the franchise right now. Like, it just irritates me because, like, I don't know what to do with all, like, this misplaced love because, like, there's... And, like, the thing is, like, my favorite games, like, I realize that my favorite games in the franchise aren't, like, the objective best. Like, right. I came in at 3. And, sure. Like, I know that's not most people's jumping off point. But, like, from then on, dude, I was in it to win it. And, like, I don't know. Like, I just, like, I feel like, there's just something about, and, like, if they blow me away and Mirage ends up being, like, a return to form, absolutely for it. I'm instant. Like, I'll pre-order it and everything. But, like, until they can prove to me that that's really the direction they're going to end up going, dude, I can't even be cautiously optimistic right now. Like, I'm just bummed.
Well, I got two things for you, Garrick. I got two things before we jump over to you, Devin, my number two host of tonight's episode of the Good Kraken Podcast. One, Garrick, that's why you're not the third host tonight. You know what I'm saying? You got a 10. I need you out of 6, baby. You know what I'm saying? I need you out of 6. Number two, we move over to one Jason Schreier from Bloomberg.com, quote tweeted an article that he put out on Bloomberg saying, and I quote, "The rumors are true. Ubisoft plans to announce several Assassin's Creed games on Saturday, including the two main games in Infinity. There's also Red, set in Japan, and Neo Hex, set amongst the witch trials of the Holy Roman Empire."
Okay.
See? Now, I'm like that conceptually, I'm in for, but conceptually, that sounds cooler to me than Mirage and Red, even. Like, I want, like, fuck that other stuff, like, whatever that is, let's focus on that.
Now, just to make sure everybody at home knows, in case you don't know who Jason Schreier is, Jason Schreier is the video games industry journalist. Like, this is the guy that finds out all the shit. Like, if you're hiding it and you're in the games industry,
it's probably true.
He will find you. You are not safe from Jason Schreier, okay? Nobody's like, safe from Jason Schreier.
Yeah, he is literally, like, the leaker of all leakers.
Like, goddamn.
Dude gets info.
Call him the anti-plumber, you know what I mean? He's leaking all the shit. You know what I'm saying?
No clogs here.
So now, Devin, let's move to you. You're going to say something, my friend. Yes, number two host of the Good Kraken Podcast.
No, I think I wanted to say, actually, with Mirage, about you know wanting it to be returned to form. I mentioned this this last Saturday, but I would like a return to form, but still with, like, the equipment and stuff like that from the newer,
like,
games.
I don't dislike all of, like, the new things. Like, I still enjoy the open world concept, you know, that was kind of missing from, like, the Ezio, you know, the Ezio series, where it was a little bit more, like, sectioned and linear. Like, I still like, because Black Flag's my favorite, like, you know, Assassin's Creed. I love that. I also really enjoyed, like, the variety of weapons and stuff that were available in Origins. Like, I liked being able to wield a spear and, like, hold a shield and, like, all that stuff. I just need them to, like, put, like, more of an emphasis on the things that actually made Assassin's Creed feel like an Assassin's Creed, which is what I felt like they, like, kind of went away from, because they've been so focused on, like, the period and, like, adding the theme, like, the theme mechanics around, like, the era that they're choosing, that, like, that they lost, like, sight of the things that made an Assassin's Creed game an Assassin's Creed game. And the first fucking one of those things is being able to instantly assassin someone. Dude, I can't tell you how mad that makes me.
With, like, major enemies or, like, bosses not being able to insta kill
them. He's out. I want that dude to be a corpse and desynthesize and let me loot his coins, please.
Yep. And that's what also, with that being said, the bow and arrow should also do the same thing to regular soldiers.
I think they just need to find some kind of way to balance out what the return to form would be, because like mm-hmm. I spent the entirety of the first three Assassin's Creed games just washing through those bitches, because you quite literally, as long as you have your hidden blade, you can literally just jump over fucking everything, get to your target, stab them, die, right? Stab, and run, and you're good. And you can do that for all eight bosses in the first Assassin's Creed game. And the second Assassin's Creed game, same fucking thing, but in Italy. And then Brotherhood, same fucking thing, but extra stuff in Italy, right? And then Revelations, same thing, a cool story, you know what I mean? And then they stopped doing that when Assassin's Creed 3 hit, because the map was just getting a little bit too fucking big, right?
You can still do it in 3. You can still do it in 3.
I mean, you still relatively could. And I did so badly do it so often that I was just popping through those heads, you know what I'm saying? Stop.
Getting the double blades.
That I actually accidentally killed George Washington in the game. Did you guys know you can fucking do that? You could accidentally kill George Washington in Assassin's Creed 3? It's fucking wild. No. Oh, dude, I pulled him into the hay, and then my guy started to desynthesize, and I was like, what the fuck? Why did I lose?
You're like, what's happening?
It literally just says in big bold letters, you killed George Washington. I was like, what the fuck? What? You can do that? It's wild. Yeah,
dude, that's crazy.
But then Black Flag was more ship combat, traveling the open world sandbox, all this and that. Mm-hmm. So I do feel they do need something to balance the stakes out a little bit. And I would hope that would be something like an RPG loadout element, you know, something like that, like RPG weapons, armor pieces, things like that, to kind of shift that out a little bit. The combat, I would want to lean a little bit more towards that sort of that Assassin's Creed Odyssey side, where it feels a little bit more 1v1. But I do agree with Garrick, where like if you get that assassination, they should be out. Like they're done. Like you're fucking done for. Though they should just make it a little bit harder to get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like with like the RPG elements, I think one of the big things that like I think I would really like to see is like, I like the idea of like the skill trees and stuff that they kind of added, but I want to see like a variety in gameplay where like rather than like the spider webbing tree where it's just like you're focusing on like ranged or stealthed or, you know, like just like outright melee combat. Yeah. I want something like give me a skill tree that's going to like change the functionality of my assassin's tools.
Mm.
Like I want if I've got a blow dart, like I want like make me choose, like give me like make give like make it a choice, like I can choose like a lethal or a non-lethal path, and like make it like I want like a, you know, not necessarily like the moral base whatever, but like give me a choice to give me like some sort of functionality change that like I can change the way I approach the levels,
okay,
while still maintaining like the classic like, you know, like gameplay loop.
I like that. One, Devin, the five slot man Stanford, once said that he wants the spear grid from Final Fantasy X in Assassin's Creed. I remember him saying that one time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's just like one of my favorite like systems for leveling up, though.
Personally. Oh, I was just talking out my ass, but sure. I mean, if you actually want that in Assassin's Creed, sure.
I wouldn't mind that in a lot of games. Like I would like to see that return in a Final Fantasy, especially because I thought it was a really cool way you could literally just build your character however you want.
God damn. It was good stuff. Your whole party, actually. You can build your entire party that way. You know what I'm saying? Good. It was good stuff. Well, we don't have a spear grid here, guys, but we do have our next segment. But before we move on our next segment, Devin, tell him.
Before we move on to our next segment, I want to remind everyone they can support us over on Discord, where soon you can get early access on this episode before it goes public. You can write into the show and you can get this episode ad-free. But if you're hearing this, probably ain't on our Discord. So for now, here's a word from our sponsors.
Yeah.
This piece of good cracking content is brought to you by Glide Mouse Pads. The world is changing, and the demand for PC gaming and work from home setups has never been as wild as it is right now. Having the best of the best in PC accessories only makes it easier to get your work done before you jump right back into the fray of the digital sea. And Glide knows exactly how to make it happen for you. Glide Mouse Pads is the future industry leader in mouse pads, offering beautiful, smooth, and waterproof products made with eco-friendly materials materials and non-slip rubber in a variety of sizes that are guaranteed to help you get the next win. Is your battle rug just looking a little crusty? Is the mouse just not as smooth as it used to be? Or are you just looking to get rid of that ergonomic mouse pad your grandma got you for Christmas? Well, then I think we have the mouse pad for you. You can go to glidemousepads.com right now and use code Kraken for 15% off the Founders Edition mousepad in every size available. Again, that's code K-R-A-K-E-N, Kraken, for 15% off any Founders Edition mousepads today. Our next sponsor is Rogue Energy. Late nights are pretty much commonplace for us content creators, and any of us here at GK can attest that sometimes you're just too damn tired to even think about how not to be tired anymore. Lucky for us, though, Rogue has figured out how to give us those late nights and even earlier mornings the supercharge we all need. Rogue Energy is a low-calorie, no-sugar energy formula that is the perfect alternative to sugar-filled canned energy drinks and sodas. Every formula Rogue Energy produces is designed with optimal levels of high-quality ingredients and no chalky textures. Being the only gaming drink company in the world with four unique product lines to suit your task at hand, Rogue Energy strives to improve that in-game performance of gamers, streamers, and content creators everywhere. Look, I love this stuff. I've got two tubs at home right now. Your boy is drinking on some caramel vanilla latte in the mornings and sipping on some mango pineapple throughout the day. And if you are wondering how you can get these two dope flavors, well, I'm gonna tell you. You can head over to rogueenergy.com and use code GKRAKEN for 10% off your purchase on any shaker or formula tub of your choosing. That is GKRAKEN for 10% off any shaker or formula tub of you'd like. And now back to your regularly scheduled good Kraken content.
Devin, are you ready? You said ask you. Are you ready? Are you actually ready, Devin? Okay, my boy. Tell the people what we have next.
It's time to put your hands on deck, y'all.
I appreciate that that's what you were ready for. You were ready for that perfect segue that literally just says it's the name best, of
the yeah, that was best so segue. Good. It's so the best great. Segue. I love
so
that.
Creative. Very, very creative.
Yeah. Thank you.
Devin, what is hands on deck, my friend?
Hands on deck is where we talk about Ernell's a mess and actually no sorry we talk about one game or movie or TV show that we watched this week and we tell you about it. We tell you if we liked it, we tell you if we hated it, we tell you if it's the Army of Darkness, you know. We let you know.
Of course or
yo, the Army of Darkness is a great fucking movie. You better watch your words, friend.
Army of the Dead, that's right. That's right.
Also good movie. Army of the also Darkness good movie great. Yeah,
Army of Darkness is great. I will resend that because I didn't mean that.
You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
For a second, I thought you were like reacting to Army of the Dead. I was like, oh, you like this now, huh?
No, I've never seen that movie. I'm good with that. So.
You should. It's a good movie. Garrick, what have you been playing or watching this week?
Over the long weekend, I played a good chunk of the brand new expansion for Back for Blood, okay. The Children of the Worm. And all right.
I like it. Tell us about it, dog.
I fucking love this game, man, dude. Like, it's just like, actually, they've added some new things between like this expansion and the last expansion that have like kind of enhanced the gameplay, like just on the whole and phrasing and like just really just like it made it feel more like. Like Left 4 Dead, in a sense. Okay. They've added like a makeshift armor, which can kind of block your character from certain critical attacks. And there's now food that's like scattered throughout the level that like are that kind of like when you consume it, they act as like active cards for the level. And it's got anything from like stamina regen to like giving you a little bit of health, to giving you like a boost of damage, etc., etc. And those were like things that were that kind of like the armor got introduced in the Tunnels of Terror expansion, which added like one of the new pieces of content, which is like ridden hives that can appear randomly in any level, and it's like a whole new set. It's like a replacement level that it's like a big labyrinthian. There's like 9 or 10 new maps, like 8 like hives available. Jesus, and like okay. Yeah, there's a lot, and there's like they're all pretty labyrinthian. They've got secrets and these big huge things like legendary weapons are involved now.
Oh, you're not just fighting zombies anymore.
No. So then that brings me to the Children of the Worm, where you are fighting there's a cult. The Children of the Worm is the name of this cult. It brings in a brand new cleaner, Prophet Dan. And he's a fucking cool ass character. He's got cool voice lines. Sounds like he's actually the most Left 4 Dead looking character. Like, he's got like a twirly villain mustache. He has like one blind eye. Speaks with like an Irish accent. Sounds like a Boondock Saints character.
I like it.
And like, he's got like a pretty unique ability. Basically, like whenever somebody gets downed, if anybody gets revived and Dan is on your team, you get like a random buff. Like, it just assigns you a buff card. Okay. And that's like his team perk, is like every time somebody gets downed, they get revived, they get like a random buff, because he's like, it's like called Seeing the Light. And the big focus of the expansion is like, there's a completely brand new act this time. It's not just like level replacements that exist within the existing campaign. And so there's now an Act 5. Act 5 kind of takes place mostly in like this big prison, where you like, that has like this big labyrinthian basement underneath it. And there is a character called the Mother, and there is this big like Goliath like creature that seems to be tied to the bottom of this location that they show in a cutscene that you don't get to fight in like the end of this act. So basically this act is all about retrieving Dan's like his followers, his flock as he calls them, and bringing them back to Fort Hope. And but you can tell that the way the act ends, that the next expansion is definitely going to lead to something bigger, like an Act 6, and you're going to confront this like Goliath ridden that you've seen, and this mother, as they identify her as, this cult leader to the Children of the Worm. But there's also two new enemies that have been introduced, the Crone and the Slasher. And the Crone is like a sniper that uses a bow and arrow, which is also a new weapon that's been introduced. The Slasher uses some like melee katar-like weapons, which have also been introduced as a melee weapon to the game. Dozens of new cards, and they've also added in some new stuff that I don't know if this was part of the expansion. I think it might have been a couple updates back, but it's called the full deck draw mechanic. So you know how at the beginning of the levels you would pick which card you want? Well, now you assign and build your 15 card deck, and then you start your run as per usual, and it just assigns you your whole deck at the beginning of the run, and that's your build. So okay. Now you've okay. got like all of your cards from the start, and you're at full strength and ready to go through from the start. And the big thing here is like, this really changes the meta of like the deck building mechanic. You can make some really meme shit. Like you can literally just make a deck now that's like all copper. Like, you can just make everybody rich. Like, you're weak and useless, but like, you can do some kind of ridiculous stuff with it. But it's kind of changed the gameplay balance and how you approach some of the harder difficulties of the game. The AI has been drastically improved. It drops ammo way more frequently now, and they use their toolkits on doors if they have them, which was like shit that they didn't do before at launch. So since base game launched last October, there's been three new cleaners added. We've got a brand new act, the Hives, which are these huge, huge, massive level replacement maps, and an expansion on the way. Dude, this is like huge, steady, healthy community, too. Like, I do quick play runs with randoms all the time. Me and my buddy Gio, Morbid Curiosity, we played through the entire brand new Act 5 together. And it was actually a really, really cohesive story experience. I'm really looking forward to like what they're doing in the future. Dude, the state of the game is just in a good spot. It's honestly in a good spot right now. This is a fun game to play. It is still on Game Pass, still incredibly fun, especially if you're willing to get some homies together, build a good deck, slap it on recruit, and just go slay zombies for like Act 1 through 5, and just make it like a little like just like a bro night out of it, and just play some. It's just good fun. Like it's the state of the game now really encases and encapsulates like what made Left 4 Dead fun, which was getting all of your friends together on the couch and slaying zombies for as long as you possibly can.
I like
it. And I'm looking forward to the latest expansion that's going to be coming out after this.
I like it. I like it. Sounds good, dude. If people wanted to play Back 4 Blood with you, where could they find you?
Oh, I'm playing. The game, oddly enough, fully crossplay. But if you are a Back 4 Blood fan, and I do keep this one pretty much perma-installed because I rotate back to it pretty regularly, you can find me on the Xbox, and my username is Other Ichigo.
Other Ichigo. There you go, folks.
I'm always down for some B for B. It's good stuff.
Goddamn. I like it. Devin, what is the one game or show or movie that you watched or played this week?
So I started watching a brand new show that just started getting released on FX, and it is an animated series that is releasing episodically every week called Little Demon.
Yes, I've heard about this. Okay, talk about it, Devin.
Okay, so this show is brilliant, I think, so far. The three main stars are, one, Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Rec.
Love her.
Lucy DeVito and Danny DeVito. So
love them.
So Danny DeVito portrays Satan in this show,
of course,
and Lucy DeVito plays his daughter, who is the Antichrist, and Aubrey Plaza plays the mother of Lucy DeVito's character. Okay. This is pretty much like if you took Rick and Morty and made it like all pagan and witchy and spiritual. That's what this show is like. 100%. It is ridiculous. Just went,
like, supernatural and like in ghosts instead of like sci-fi.
Exactly. It's all supernatural. It's got very similar humor. It is very vulgar. It is violent. It is funny. And it tries to deliver the heartfelt message through the whole thing too. I really enjoy it. I've only watched the first two episodes. I know the third episode just dropped, but I'm definitely interested to see where the show goes because it is pretty hilarious so far.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw some discourse posts about this show, some concerned parents being like, this is from Disney. And I want to clarify it for everybody at home. This is not from Disney. Okay. Disney just owns Fox. Fox still operates
as its own fucking studio, people.
Yes. this is not have the Disney emblem come up in the beginning, anything like that. It does, however, have a man being skinned out in public, and that might be problematic in and of itself. But
You know what though?
What else can you expect from a show called Little Demon? Hot Mom. Okay. I love you. Give me Garrick in the same boat house there. Is Satan the dad with like the nice sweater?
Yes.
That's Satan, huh? Okay. I like this. I don't know if I'm completely sold on this because it does look like the absurdity that it looks like, right? But I'm also very sold because
you should watch it. You would love it. Okay. You would love it. It is spiritual Rick and Morty, 100%. It's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. Spiritual Rick and Morty. I like it.
Yeah.
Spiritual. I like the sound of that. So I don't know if spiritual might be the exact word for it, but you know, that's fine.
Totally it's supernatural, fun. Rick and Morty. There you go.
There. Oh, okay. I'll take that. That's okay. So you said you're on episode three or you're
I have to watch episode three. I've watched the first two episodes so far though.
There's only three out so far, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a brand new show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Senators are getting mad about this.
Where can you watch this?
Yes. Oh, you can watch it on Hulu.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like that a lot. I do have Hulu now, so I might do that. Boys,
I love Hulu.
I played. I don't know if I'm quite happy with it yet, but you know, but it's fine. It's okay for what it is. It has Prey on it, which is like one of the best movies of this year. So I'll give them that much. You know what I mean? I'll give them that much.
All right.
I have been playing a game over the past few days that actually is technically an older game, but just somewhat relatively recently got dropped onto PS5 a couple months ago. And that is a very fun, interesting game called Deliver Us the Moon. That is currently available on PlayStation Premium and Extra. That's where I found it. I don't know necessarily if it's on Xbox Game Pass, but it might be. We can look into it here in a second. But this is an adventure puzzle game where you are playing as an astronaut that is trying to travel to the moon. And in this world, in the year of 2058, I believe it what it is, is a desolate, almost completely barren Earth, in which the entire planet was running out of resources. So they sent humans to the moon to mate there into habitat the moon. And in the process of doing so, they found out that helium that they found on the moon could be used as a power resource. And so they were sending helium down to Earth via a magnetic system from this this satellite city that was planted on the moon. And one day, the electrical connection between the Earth and the moon, between these two stations, was severed because of a massive power outage that happened on Earth. And now suddenly the Earth is out of resources again. And your astronaut is charged with the duty of going up to this this city on the moon to try to find out another way to get the helium from the moon onto Earth to save planet Earth, and find out what happened to the people that were on or in this little tiny moon town, this moon station, because nobody's there anymore. And I have yet to beat this game 100% yet. I haven't quite rolled credits just yet, but I have gotten very, very far in. And this is a very fun, interesting, a little puzzle game. It's fun. It's the kind of puzzles that it has are super interesting. They're intriguing. You do some stuff that's in zero gravity in first person. You do some shit that is literally controlling your spaceship. You have a shuttle, you have a space shuttle that you have to, like, go through the steps of launching from your space station on Earth. It's really fucking cool. And then when you get to the space station that's on the moon, you have to, like, connect the ship onto the dock of the station. And then you go into the station, you have to do a bunch of puzzles in zero gravity. And then you're trying to plug in, like, electrical units into other units that don't have electricity that you need access to. Parts of the station that has no power, things like that. You get a little laser cutter thing to cut locks. It's got a lot of really, really cool stuff. And I think my favorite part that I've hit so far, it kind of happens early in the game, so it's not much of a spoiler, but a section of the station that you're in breaks off, and you have this, like, Sandra Bullock in the hit movie Gravity moment where your guy's floating through fucking space, and thankfully your character finds a piece of shuttle that is broken.
Dude,
off
that sounds like anxiety.
It's is pretty, my butthole was real clenched, I'll tell you that.
I would have been stressed the fuck out, dude. Like, yeah. Stressed out.
Well, and then when you take control again, you're in first person again. So you're, like, slowly trying to float your way back to the shuttle using the tiny little boosters that are on your suit to sort of, like, slightly shift you in certain directions. And there's, like, oxygen tanks that you have to, like, grab and then, like, use to, like, get more oxygen in your suit and stuff that you're having to try to, like, migrate your way towards while you're slowly inching your way towards the shuttle. It's pretty,
dude,
cool.
I just thought of, like that just makes me think of the Love, Death, and Robots short.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I know exactly what you're saying. Oh, dude, I know. And it feels like that too. It feels like that too. But little moments like that.
Let me just snap my arm off to save my life.
But little moments like that make it come to life in a way that, like, I wasn't suspecting. This game came out originally in 2018. And then it got moved to PS5 and PlayStation and Xbox, I believe, and got a big graphical update. And it looks surprisingly good. The mechanics are a little aged. They definitely show it to show the game's age a whole lot because your character's sort of like... it's not tank controls, but your character does sort of like sort of stumble as like you're walking and stuff like that. It just doesn't really feel like you're actually controlling their like full on movement because they're kind of just like shifting to the side when you come to a stop and like things like that. It's a little wonky. If you play it, you'll see exactly what I mean. But it has got some really, really cool stuff. You get a really funny, dope little robot companion about a third of the way through the game that becomes super helpful. It's not an action adventure, so you're not going around killing shit like you do in like Dead Space or something like that, but it is just a really, really cool, like isolated, lonely space experience that I don't think you really get in a lot of video games. Like there's maybe like two or three that I can think of off the top of my head that sort of give you like a similar sense of anxiety about being in like space alone and having to do all of this alone. and this I think is actually not too bad. What I'm currently doing outside of Deliver Us the Mood is I'm kind of going through the what the PlayStation Plus premium and like extra packages come with as far as like their games that they have available. And a lot of it is kind of digging into little indie games that I've like had my eye on at some point or another and saw on the list. It was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to try that out really quick. Right. So that's one that I'm definitely going to be tagging in. There's another game I'm going to be trying out this week that I'm going to be talking about on Saturday that I'm really excited for. That's actually not on PlayStation. It's on Xbox. But I'll be following up with you guys about that here on Saturday. It's going to be a good time.
Sweet.
It's going to be a good time. Devin, my fellow co-host, my friend, how you doing? You doing good? You doing good, baby?
I'm doing good. I like when you were describing that, my roommate's cat Sox came into my office and was just being all sorts of cute.
Your roommate has a cat named Sox.
Yes. Have you not seen the cat?
As in, like, the name of the cat from Buzz Lightyear, from the hit movie Lightyear, whose name is also Sox.
I mean, it's a pretty common cat name, to be fair.
I just bought you 5 minutes.
Look at him. Good. Look at him. He's so cute.
Oh, he's cute. Oh, that's a cute kitty. Look at that kitty. Yeah. Oh, hi, Sox.
Yeah.
Hi, Sox. He's cute. You're a fucking trip.
He wants down already.
he wants down. I'm over it. He's like, don't pick me up.
What like, I just want to rub against your leg and get pets on the floor.
What if I start shit talking your roommate's cat? That'd be great. Oh my god, Griff, what's happening, baby? Sox is the star of Lightyear. He sure fucking was, doggy dog. Sure. what was the little alarm noise that he make with his mouth? Like, wee 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 wee. He fucking cat's so good. Devin, tell the people at home what we have next.
Everybody, protect your limbs, protect your joints, don't dislocate yourself like me and Garrick, because it's the gallows.
Let's fucking go. Protect your nerve. Yeah. Griff is alive. It is official. Ladies and gentlemen, right here we have it. The Griff himself is alive. Welcome back, Griffy baby. We missed you. We miss you. We hope you're doing good. We hope you're killing it out here. Devin, what are we talking about in the gallows today, my friend?
All right, y'all. So today you've heard us talk about games we want as movies before. But today we're gonna talk about movies we want as games.
Goddamn.
Go around three rounds, round robin. We're going to talk about our least wanted to most wanted movies into games.
Goddamn.
So, Garrick, could you start us off, my good sir?
Go on, Mr. Not Third Absolutely. Host of the show tonight.
Damn. Like, why'd you have to find a way to be mean about it?
Because I have a Truly in this cup. This is the first time I've had alcohol in this cup, but I'm doing it. Let's go.
I am not drinking tonight.
Movies to games.
Let's go.
One that I have like hands down, like I've just really wanted, like I've even Googled to see if it existed at one point in time in my life or if it was ever going to exist.
Yep.
But dude, I I really, really want a Pacific Rim video game.
That would be sick.
Okay. That'd be sick. I see you. I see you. What does this Pacific Rim video game look like to you? What kind of game is this? What genre of game do you want this to be?
Dude, I didn't even need it to be like an original story. I would have taken like a Lord of the Rings, like Return of the King,
license.
PlayStation 2. Like, just give me the beat for a beat, bro. I would have done
give
it.
Give him the beat.
Like, I just wanted this game. I just really, really wanted to actually like pilot. Like, I wanted to pilot a Jaeger and I wanted to fucking fight kaiju. Like, that's all I want. Like, because like the game just had like a really cool concept, like of like the fact that like the aliens came from, you know, beneath the sea rather than from the stars.
Okay.
And I don't know, like it just could have been cool. Like there could have been some, it would have been like a third person, probably like a third person action RPG title. And dude, I would have been perfectly okay with like some game that would have given me something like along the lines of where, like, you know, it's like Gypsy Danger, third person. I am like, and I'm going from kaiju fight to kaiju fight. I want all those cinematic moments. Like, I'll be like, give me the stuff where like we've got like the in the ocean scene, but I need like that deliberate, purposeful combat that like would come with the fact that like, The Jaegers are slow because of the way that they're piloted, like through the tech that they use. But like, you could translate that into like a really punchy combat system that I think would be really cool. And I don't know, like, I did, dude, it was just something I always wanted. Like, I absolutely fucking love the Pacific Rim franchise. Like, I'm just all about big robots and kaijus, and like, the core like source material of the content could have made a cool video game.
I like it. I fucking like it, dude. That would be fun. That sounds very fun. Devin, what's your first movie into a game that you want?
So I'm like looking through. So I have a couple lists going, and I'm like, okay, that you know, that I've mm-hmm. been thinking about. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, how about a roguelite version of Crank?
That would be cool. Okay.
Yeah, I'm picturing like a Sifu sort of thing.
How do we make it roguelike? How do we make it roguelike?
So the roguelike could be just the, like, let's say it's kind of like a sandbox, right? And the roguelite is how you move through the sandbox.
Okay.
Because the thing is, it's Crank, right? You always have to be moving to stay alive or doing something that is adrenaline based.
I like it.
So pretty much you have a target and you can go any way you want throughout that map.
Okay. I can fuck with that. I'd play the shit out of that. No, that sounds lit. That sounds super lit.
So it'd be like a 2.5 like AA game, you know, like almost AAA, but like not quite, you know?
That sounds way fun, actually. I was hesitant at first. I was like, there'd be some wild shit that they would do in that, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that like would really super fucking work. I think that would super fucking work.
I think it would be fun to put in like some quick time like event fight type of things too. Like when you come across like certain characters in the game, like you could like have like quick time battles, but like actually doing more than just pressing a button. Like you have to do combos, you know, okay. Be kind of fun.
I like it.
You know,
I like it. I like it. Okay. Okay. Whew. Boys. All right. So my first pitch to you, okay. All right. My first pitch to you guys tonight. Uncharted. No. Hear me out. Right. I want an Inception video game. In the same,
that was on my list.
Let's go. Let's fucking go. In the same sort of gameplay style as Hitman.
I would almost say, how about Max Payne? Like, did you ever play Max Payne 3?
This isn't your want right now, Dev. Actually, where were you? Were you gonna want this in the next round? Is this where you're gonna bring it up?
Yeah.
Let's bounce it. Let's bounce it, baby. Okay. So I see Hitman. You want Max Payne? Is that what you want?
It's here? Almost like Hitman, but less clunky. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. You played the new Hitman? It's not that clunky anymore. not that clunky.
Yeah, Hitman 3 feels pretty good.
Yeah. It's just, it can be so slow at times. And Inception, they have the moments where it's not slow. True, and that's why I was going to say, like, almost like the Max Payne kind of style thing, because I thought Max Payne 3 did a pretty good job. Or like even the gameplay of Control is actually what I kind of envisioned a little bit more. Like the way that you move and like control.
Floating in the air? Oh, okay.
Well, think about it. There is going to be weird things when the dreams are collapsing and the... and
that's true. That's true.
So there is... and they're dreams. Lots of things can happen in dreams.
What if we do, like Hitman... open area, right? Because they have the heist stuff going on, but then the action set pieces are Max Payne, and then the weird or crazy action pieces set pieces are definitely like control, right? I like that baby.
Because I thought about this.
Ooh, I like that a lot. Garrick, what's your second one, my friend?
All right, so this isn't necessarily a good movie. It definitely falls into the cult classic category.
Sure.
But honestly, I think this shit would make a fucking dope ass video game.
Okay.
And that is one Kevin Costner's Waterworld.
Oh. The way you said it,
Waterworld.
Okay.
I mean, Garrick, it would be a sick game. I mean, it would pretty much be Skull and Bones, right?
Dude, no. Wouldn't that at all? Waterworld.
So, okay, Garrick, what do you want Waterworld to look like?
Okay, honestly, like, this isn't even that hard of a parallel either. Like, you guys will be able to imagine that. The Mad Max video game.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
I want an open world experience. Like, Kevin Costner's character, the Mariner, I want an open world game that, like, most of the world, most of Earth is covered underwater. You get to explore that as a mariner, somebody who exists like Kevin Costner, not even Kevin Costner's character, just somebody like him that like has that adaptation. And I think it would be really interesting to just have like these ships and like human settlements existing on boats and like this open world experience where like, you know, basically the only point of land that's available is Mount Everest, like the summit of Mount Everest. I just think you could get a very cool like Far Cry esque story out of a world like that, and like with that sort of you could just come up with some really really cool like swim flight mechanics that like the Mariner could have to be able to be like enhanced over like you know the other humans and you know like combats and various factions that you would obviously combat like as you're playing through the game. I don't know, I just think it just like just the concept of like being able to play as a protagonist where like the world has essentially been sunken underwater would be really cool.
Can I bounce off of you?
Do it.
Go for
real
it.
Quick. Waterworld, but Wind Waker. Just kidding.
I can't listen.
See, hey. But like the thing is like there would be a big portion of this would actively take place underwater because like you like are a human who has like the evolutionary trait of like having gills and can hold your breath and like actually exist in the place where the rest of humanity can't. That's where I think it'd be really cool because you could get some like Tomb Raider-esque like ruins and puzzles and like some Horizon Zero Dawn elements where like you can get to explore like the remnants of humanity underwater. I don't know, it'd be really cool.
That'd be kind of cool. Do I still get a number two? I just wanted to. I have more ideas that I can throw out there.
I mean, if you got another number two, my bad boy, let's fucking do it. Let's do it. Let's. What do we got?
I do. One Tom Cruise movie. Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh. All right. What's it look like? What's it look like? What kind of gameplay you want this?
So I'm kind of like in a toss up. This is like replacing my number two, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was almost thinking like, what if the combat? And granted, this game wasn't super popular, but this game was also very very well regarded by the people who did play it. What if it was kind of like Rise: Son of Rome, with with the combat ish, you know,
Okay.
because of like the exoskeleton suits they wear to fight the aliens and stuff.
Okay.
You know, something kind of like that, like gritty combat. But I'm having a hard time. Would we want this to be like an adventure story that they go through, you know, fighting this war? Or do we want it to have that roguelite element of live, die, repeat?
I think that this game has the perfect fitting to be a roguelite.
Yeah, yeah. But so like it's like it's almost kind of written itself into being into that genre. Like it would have such a satisfying loop.
Now, if we were talking like District 9, I would maybe say instead like a first person like narrative experience.
That's a good idea.
Or single player, idea. Excuse me. Yeah.
I like that idea. I see where you're
there
at.
There you go. You know what I'm saying? But hey, no, Edge of Tomorrow was a fucking fun movie. I would absolutely be down for a roguelite of that, especially if it was like Titanfall-esque. Like situation going on, like first person role, like Deathloop sort of style, but you're in like technological like mech suit combat with like his little like armor upgrade that he gets in the movie. That would be fucking lit. Oh my god, give me that. You know what I'm saying? Cool. So I'm gonna take my second and I'm going to put this into a little bit of a different situation here. I want a single player narrative mystery, something along the lines of Heavy Rain, of the movie No Country for Old Men.
Ooh,
I think that'd be fun. I think solving that mystery, like tracking down the dude, in a narrative driven.
Super cool.
God damn, man. I mean, like, imagine having like. In today's graphics, right? In today's like modern day, like Unreal Engine 5-esque fucking graphics, that would look fucking sweet. Like showing up to those crime scenes and like seeing these dudes just fucking brained out from a cattle prod. Like there's all sorts of wild shit we would see in this. And I think that the mystery aspect and like the like it kind of like the entire movie sort of felt like that 1920s like noir cop movie that we were talking about the other week with Garrick, right? And so like I feel like something like that fits really fun in a concept of a single player narrative game, right? Like that'd be so fucking cool. I think that'd be a fun one. Garrick,
that'd be a fucking good one,
my man. Boys, we're in our last round here. This is our big heavy guns here, right? Are you guys ready for this? Are you guys ready for the big pitch?
Are you?
Oh, wait. Oh, we have a, we have a GZDR for Ev. Gazder. We'll do for Ev. We'll call you for Ev. Welcome to the family.
Ev's the safe way, yeah.
For Ev. Welcome to the family. First time chatting. What's up? How about Ready Player One? Let's fucking go.
That'd be a really good suggestion.
Pancho, can we have a beard off? Who can grow the best beard on Good Kraken Show? It's definitely Devin. Yeah. He's got the beard. He's got the full.
Devin's is the most full. Like my I don't get full in the cheeks after a while. Like it's just
I have to trim it
here.
Too. If I wanted to, guys,
Ernell doesn't connect. Ernell and I have beard deficits that we're well aware of. Thank you.
it's awful. I hate it here.
We get
last
it.
Round, boys. Garrick, what is your final and biggest pitch, my man?
All right. So this is one of my favorite movies of all time. Arguably one of the best movies ever created. And I also think this would make a great single player branching narrative driven experience.
Okay.
And that would be one, Shawshank Redemption.
That's fucking cool, my boy. Okay, talk about it. What do we got? What are you thinking?
Think about the film. So the film at its core is a very beautifully disguised prison escape, right? But it's the prison escape is not the focus of the film.
Correct.
It's the journey and like his experiences with the other inmates, which is why I think this would be like really, really good as like a branching narrative. where basically you get the opportunity to make decisions as the character, and like who, like you kind of choose like the factions of inmates that you start to associate with, and like how that plays out in your ultimate prison escape. Like if you choose this faction, you guys might end up like tunneling through the wall like they did in like the original film, but you guys might also like, you know, like, and like give me some other options like starting a prison riot or like, or escaping through the ducting system or planning some elaborate like replacement of the guard, you know, like but basically like all of these escapes would be tied to the inmates and how you chose to interact with them and build a relationship with them inside the prison. But it would all be very interpersonal. Like you're learning these people's daily routine. Like you, like you're going through like prison resume and stuff where like certain items like beer and cigarettes are incredibly valuable. You'll get like those opportunities or like those special missions to go on like those. And like, this would be set period piece, like in the same time frame as Shawshank Redemption. So like technology is not really in play here. Like this is really like their work duty is like them going out and retarring a roof and getting a couple of cold, like lukewarm beers afterward. Like, and like, that's like your idea of like, and that's when you get to like interact with these like inmates and build the relationship and like get away from the guards to plan your escape. And I think like that would be like, it, I don't know, just the idea of like a, like just kind of like a branching narrative, very similar to like, I just picture like Detroit Become Human sort of thing. Like that's kind of where my mind goes.
I pictured a extended single player, no way out. And, or a way out. the game about the split screen game with two prisoners trying to escape from prison.
Yeah. Kind of the same thing,
but like extended, right?
Really, really kind of cool. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like just, yeah, with more of the interpersonal part where like you're really like, it's less about the escape itself and more about like getting to understand and choose like the relationships that you're building while you're like, while you're in the prison setting.
I fucking want that. Really,
I
bad.
I think that shit would be so fucking good.
That'd be so fucking cool, dude.
I think that would be such a fire game.
Griffin chat, I believe there's a point and click adventure game based on Shawshank. I think there is too. I mean, that's still not.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by that either. This is way in depth though. Like this sounds like a full on like it's effectively like what we're kind of expecting out of the new Harry Potter game, Fuck Turfs, but in prison.
Dude, in a sense, yeah. Like, I want, yeah, essentially, like, I want to be able to, like, go in and be like, all right, these are the options laid before me and the several approaches that I can choose. And, like, I want to be like, all right, I chose not to associate with these people in the prison. And, like, these guys, I made toilet wine with this guy over here. And now we're planning the escape together. And that's going to lead to, like, and this guy has, like, this background with this expertise, which might lead to this sort of escape, right?
Like
that's
that.
What I want.
I like that. That's
cool.
Fucking lit. For Evan Chat says, how about a puzzler like escape room? That'd be fucking fun.
That'd be cool too.
That'd be super fun. That'd be rad. I mean, there are escape room games that you can play, but like having it in a more like first person experience would be fucking rad. That'd be super rad.
Mm-hmm.
Devin, it's your turn, my boy. What's your big pitch that you got for us, daddy?
All right. So picture this. Open world, fantasy,
okay,
action RPG game.
Give it to me.
Based in the world of Princess Mononoke.
Fuck! Oh my god, I need it so bad.
Completely derived from the actual story, but is just in that era with all of that lore, all of the creatures, all of that stuff. And it is an adventure game where you just explore and make your own story.
Hot fucking damn, my boy. Hot damn. Could you fucking imagine? Oh, my God.
That'd be so much fun.
So, like, we're getting...
You would have to build such... Like, you would have to build such a dense forest, like, world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh.
Well, so we're getting we saw that game some weeks back that it's supposed to be like loosely based on like the overall aesthetic of Princess Mononoke, but with some like futuristic tech that's thrown in there as well.
Soul Frame.
Yeah, yeah. It's from the makers of Warframe. And that obviously we fucking lost our minds over that shit. That shit looked fucking bonkers, right? But a conceptually, right, a open world. You said MMO?
No.
Just open world. Okay.
Adventure action RPG.
Okay. And you're living your way through some storyline through the Princess Mononoke world. You're running into the boar clan, all that shit, right?
Yeah. It'll be kind of like an Elder Scrolls game where like you start and you find a path and you make that story to be your you know, it could be like a main quest that is similar but has like, you know, 10 different ways to do it.
Okay.
You know?
Oh my god, dude, you could literally make it so you start out as like that. You could see it'd be such a cool RPG option because you could be like, you could start out in like the iron mining, like you could like that could be like your bigger character's background.
Yep.
Or you could start out as like a Mononoke-esque person where like you are raised by one of the forest spirits, or you can start as like someone who's like just like a tribesman who lives off the land. Dude, there's so many options. That'd be a really cool
a samurai branching in the Shogun's army or something. Yes,
dude,
you know?
Yeah, yep. Like exactly. Yep. Dude, there's options and factions you could bring about there.
I'm really glad that we're fucking getting this shit right now because I'm stoked for all this shit, right?
That'd be super cool.
Griff says, hear me out. Narrative RPG based in never-ending story.
Oh, that would slap.
To this day, I want a remake of that so fucking bad.
Like, because all on Dune, so right? Good. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, ooh. I want the people who do all the creature designs for Lord of the Rings to work on that movie.
Goddamn, baby boy. Goddamn. All right, boys. Here we go. Here's my big pitch. Are you guys ready? You guys ready for this shit? Okay. Destiny 2 gameplay. Okay. Gunplay. MMO. Open world sort of system. Okay. With Call of Duty first person action. And story, as far as the campaigns are concerned, in Reign of Fire from 2002.
Oh, holy shit. Dude.
Could you imagine fighting dragons? Now, here's the deal. I want this to be a prequel to Reign of Fire. I want to see how the world collapses from the massive dragon attack that impedes upon us. Okay, imagine killing draggies with your fucking homies at the end of the fucking world, boys. Oh my
dragons
god,
and tanks. Oh, dragons and tanks.
Dragons and tanks, baby. Let's fucking go. Devin, listen, man. Listen, dog. I'm telling you.
And I want
these like, dragons to scale. Like, I need them the size of a fucking tower, if need be, man. And it's just 50 people, Destiny 2, are like, raid style, just all shooting at this fucking dragon that's attacking. I mean, I was throwing a number out there. You know?
Let's go with, like, 12 there, bud.
Let's go 12.
Actually, that's a good raid number. You know what would be really cool? If there was a multiplayer element where it was like a 6-on-6, like, there's another team, and the objective is to take out the dragon, but you
dragon
also have
first.
To...
first.
You also have to eliminate the other team too.
That'd be pretty cool. That'd be pretty good PvP.
Because there were
D.
Yeah, PvPvE.
PvPvD.
Yeah, I like that. Especially with like the Call of Duty Destiny esque stuff too.
Because I'm imagining the gunplay to be like this cool combination of like Destiny's very smooth gunplay, right? But Call of Duty sort of like rigidness, you know what I mean? Like, because that's
it's
sort of like
it's got that more punchy tactical feel,
right? Exactly. And because in this world, it would make sense for a sort of like modern,
right? Because they're
style,
using
like,
that modern warfare-esque like sort of guns and technology, but have like the fluidity and like the focus that like Destiny 2's like gunplay. I get exactly what you're saying. I can see it would be a cool fucking experience, like, dude. And you can like, oh my god. Could you imagine like a co-op shooter with like a co-op shooter with that same sort of presence where like the objective is like you're set into a map, And then it's like you and this team and another team. Mm-hmm. And like the dragon is the objective and you guys are fighting each other off while hunting the dragon. Dude, Reign of Fire is just a good choice. That's a good choice.
I'm just saying, man. That's a movie I've been needing to play since I was 12 years old, baby. God damn, do we need that shit to come to life.
That's a good list.
Boys, we had some good pitches, man. God damn. Can I throw out
an honorable mention? Because I think we would all be into this. Because it just kind of popped into my head.
Go ahead.
Do it.
What if you take, you know, Knights of the Old Republic style gameplay, but like more modernized? Mm-hmm. The Fifth Element.
I would need to know a little bit more, right? I would need to know a little bit more because I'm glad you left this for an honorable mention, right? Because like the Fifth Element has a obviously massive universe, which is why like this makes sense for what you're trying to say, right? But
there's a lot of different types of things they could do.
I'm with it, my boy. Let me see you there and raise you Resident Evil. But instead, I'm going to tell you guys about our schedule for the rest of this week. Tomorrow, if you're watching this live or if you're on podcast services listening to us tomorrow morning, tonight, we have 1/7th Brevin, where our boy himself, the Five Slot Man, is going to be playing Death Stranding. Let's fucking go. Devin, tell them a little bit about it.
This game came out on Game Pass a couple weeks ago. I have yet to actually play this game, and I bought the director's cut on Steam not too long ago. So I was looking for something new to play, and I figured why not just play Death Stranding director's cut for all you people. I will experience this with you guys because I will be doing a fresh new game starting from the very beginning. And we can all go around the desolate world and pick up boxes and dead bodies with Norman Reedus.
Goddamn, let's fucking go, baby. Let's go, baby. And then on Thursday, we have another live recording of The Shipwreck Show, which you guys here in our Twitch chat are more than welcome to come in and hang out with us while we do that, because you guys make that show way fun. You guys can also write into that if you are a Twitch subscriber. You have access to our Shipwreck Submission section in our Discord channel, where you can drop at any time. Anytime throughout the week, you guys can drop questions that you want us to potentially pick to talk about on the show right over there. Disc Sword.
There we go.
There you go. Thank you. Disc Sword.
Disc Sword.
Another cool game. And then this Friday, we have another Splash Damage multiplayer gameplay stream where yours truly and the Five Slot Man, Devin, we will be playing through some Destiny 2 Season of Plunder. God damn.
Because I don't have it.
Oh, man. You should. You know what I'm saying? You fucking should. You know what I mean, baby boy?
One of us.
Dude, I've been playing it the past couple of nights. I'm back in, baby. Let's fucking go. Dude, this pirate shit, man.
Like, I've been genuinely thinking about, like, I've had, like, the itch. I was like, damn, I want to come back and play. Especially, like, the Lightfall trailer got me like just infinite. I was just like, fuck, is that a new species of alien for the first time since the birth of the franchise? I think I have to give another shit now.
And there's, you know, there's already stasis as a new element. They just redid all of the other supers and classes.
Every single one.
Added a bunch of stuff.
Heard about that.
Super customizable. Yep.
Yep. And they're adding another element for us to use in Lightfall.
Heard about that too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lots of new different types of weapons. You know, you get glaives.
Dude, do you know how freaking expensive it is to be able to read, to like to buy all the freaking content on a new console? Like, my God.
Garrick, I buy the $100 edition of the game every year.
Every year, just once a year. Put that in, and you're good for the entire year. You know what I'm saying? You're good for the entire year.
It gets
all
the content.
All the content.
And you save money, too.
Guess what? It's September, so that's not an option available to me right now, okay? Like,
but you know what is, though, is the $40 package where you can play with your boys until February when Lightfall comes out.
And then we'll all get the $100.
The $40 package just gets me Witch Queen. It doesn't get me... I'm still missing all the old DLCs, exotics, and campaign stuff. Like, I just don't have access to so many good weapons that are still viable in current content that, like, it doesn't feel worth it yet.
Then you pay $50 and you also get the $10 season of Plunder. You know what I'm saying? And it's pirates, baby. It's pirates, Garrick. We're here for the space pirates. Dude,
it's like it's like $150 to get it. Are you kidding me?
Worth it.
It's not $150.
No, it's
yeah,
not.
It is.
Not $150.
No, it's not. It was like $90.
I did the math like 2 days ago.
Well, you don't,
it's $40 for a witch queen, $30 for the legacy bundle, and then it's another that's 40, and then it's another 30 for the anniversary edition.
Well, you don't need the anniversary edition. Yeah, you know what I mean, you know, that's
how you get Galahorn though.
Exactly. Like, come on, dude. Like, everybody knows that's still a viable weapon. I digress.
Well,
I mean, guys, I did it
at home. Subscribe to us on Twitch so we can get Garrick Destiny 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, preferably Saturday, we're going to be talking another Good Kraken podcast where we will be doing a D23 announcements update. So D23, the Disney 23 Expo, is happening this weekend. And unfortunately, bad news, guys, Genesaw is sick and will no longer be attending D23 this year.
Oh, no.
I know. She might have got the viddy. Our very own Genesaw. Sure. We love you, Genesee. We hope you get better soon. But we will still be giving you guys the updates live as we go through the episode, letting you guys know a little bit about what got announced from Disney as far as Star Wars, as far as Marvel is concerned. And we will be filling you guys in there, as well as the beginning of the episode, where we will be covering and live reacting to the Ubisoft Forward, where they will be doing a bunch of Assassin's Creed announcements, as well as Skull and Bones. And some other stuff. Please, guys, let us know some of your movies that you want to play as a video game. Let us know in the comments below. Let us know on Twitter. Let us know on our Discord or in our Twitch chat. Like one Griff Nato did, set in the Doom universe, you play as a demon. In the distance, you hear metal music approaching you. The slowly approaching sounds of screaming and horror. Doom Guy is approaching. Run. Crash Bandicoot, but Doom Demon being chased by Doom Guy. Sounds like Metal Hellsinger, which comes out on September 15th, which you guys will be able to catch free on Xbox Game Pass. There you go. That's exactly it. Or you guys can catch us right here, because this has been the Good Kraken Podcast, your choice for all the nerdy video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you wanted to hear.
Soldier Boy.
Live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 12 p.m. right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. Devin, what can they do?
If you're riding this wave, you can head on over to our Discord, where you can submit questions and topics to the show, get exclusive content, and have early access before they go live on podcasts and video services across the digital sea.
But you can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken with an exclamation mark and leaving a review there.
A review.
We gotta go play Destiny without Garrick, but until next time, my friends.
Wow.
Oh my God. Give me Rain of Fire, the fucking video game. God damn it. God damn it. Give it to me. Please.
Give it to me, baby.
All you can fuck
Princess buffet. Mononoke.
All you can fuck buffet. Let's go.
That's done.
Bye, guys.
What?